Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and we are in the first study, the first part of the book of Revelation, and today we're on lesson 10. And this lesson includes chapters 2 and 3, which is about the overcomers and the conquerors of these seven churches that John was given the message to write down the letters from Christ. So let us begin our study today in prayer. Father, we just praise you and thank you for your message to the churches that you gave to John, the disciple, and you told him to write it down. And we're so thankful that you give us today the opportunity to study your word, and that you may speak to us today the same as you spoke to the seven churches in that day of John. And we ask now, Father, that you teach us, give us understanding through your Holy Spirit, that we may live it out and that we may tell others about Jesus, our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, we are looking now, we're coming to the close of these first five, actually the first three chapters. And this is about the churches, the letter that was sent to each of the seven churches. And today's study is about what Jesus wrote in those letters to the churches about them becoming overcomers and what he had in store for them. And it includes us today. So, as we begin our study, Revelation chapter 1 was given to John, and he was told to write, and he saw Jesus. And then Revelation chapter 2, he was told to write to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamon, and Thyatira. And then in Revelation 3, John was told to write to Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And in Revelation 4, John saw one on the throne in heaven, and he saw those around the throne worshiping God. And in Revelation 5, the Lamb we saw is the only one worthy to open the book or the scroll. So, we see the theme of these first chapters, and the entire book of Revelation is, and also the purpose of it. God gave the revelation to Jesus, and Jesus gave it to an angel, and the angel gave it to John, and John wrote it to the churches. So we have learned in this first study that Jesus is the theme of the entire book of Revelation. So what is the purpose of the book? The purpose is to show Jesus' servants the things which must soon take place. And that is speaking to all believers, Jesus' servants. So Jesus told John to write in that first chapter, verse 19. And what he told John to write was the things which you have seen, the things, those which are, and the things, those things which will take place after these things. So, looking at each church as he began to write in chapter 2 and throughout chapter 3, we saw that Jesus' message was to the churches. So what did he say to these churches? To Ephesus, he said, "Don't leave or abandon your first love. Repent." In Smyrna, he said, "Don't fear tribulation. Be faithful until death." In Pergamum, he told them to hold fast to Jesus' name and don't deny the faith, and to repent. And in Thyatira, this church, he said, "Don't tolerate false teaching and sin in the church, and repent." And in Sardis, he spoke to them and said, "Wake up from being dead and repent." And to Philadelphia, he said, "Hold fast what you have." And Laodicea, being the seventh church, he told them to repent and open the door to Jesus. So he had a message to each church, and he also told each church that if they became conquerors or overcomers, that he had certain things that he was going to give them because they have been faithful and have been overcomers. Now, that's what we're studying today in this lesson, Lesson 10. We're studying about overcomers and how that God has great rewards for those that overcome. First of all, what does overcomers mean? Overcomers or conquerors. It means victory. It means to conquer and to prevail and to gain a victory. That is the definition. So here we see in our study that each church was given from Jesus in their letter what, if they would be faithful and overcome, they would receive. Now, I want to start with 1 John, and we want to look at the scripture written in the 5th chapter of 1 John, verses 4 and 5, because this gives us the Word of God and what the definition means. So I'll read verse 4 and 5 of 1 John 5. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" So here we see that an overcomer is the one that who has faith and who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So the overcomer then, the believer, overcomes the world. And we know that Jesus did when he walked here. When he went to the cross, he overcome the devil and the spirit of the Antichrist in false prophets. So overcomers are not constantly overcome by the world and of the devil. They have faith and they have strength from God. So let's see then some more scripture in Revelation 12:11, "And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death." Now, we're going to study more in chapter 12 as we go forward in part 2 and part 3 and part 4. So this is what we see in Revelation 12, that the overcomers overcome or overcame because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, because they believed in the name of Jesus and they didn't even love their lives when they faced death. Now, let's look at Revelation 17, verses 12 through 14. And we'll study more in the book of Revelation, but this is to help us see how that overcomers can overcome. Revelation 17, 12. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. And these have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast. And these will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Excuse me. And this is what we see as we go forward in our study of this scripture, that Jesus overcame, and that he overcame the world, and he overcame because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And so all believers, it says, with him are the called and chosen and faithful. Now, as we go forward, we want to look a little bit more at some more scriptures. And we're going to see about what is in store for the future for overcomers in Revelation 21, verses 2 through 8. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride, abandoned for her husband, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away." And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." And then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, and murderers, and immoral persons, and sorcerers, and adulterers, and liars, their part will be in the lake of that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So, this is the future of the new heaven and the earth, and the new Jerusalem. And it tells of the inheritance of overcomers, conquerors. And that inheritance is described in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 in the promises who overcome these seven churches. That includes all believers and all churches that are made up of believers today. So let's begin now by looking at each church, their overcoming and their conquering. So first we want to look at Ephesus, and what was it that they overcome or that they needed to overcome? We saw that Jesus said that they had left or abandoned their first love. So they needed to overcome that. And how were they going to do that? They were going to do it by remembering from where they had fallen, that from that first love. And they were to repent. And they were to do the deeds or works they did at first. And they were to persevere and endure for Jesus' name. And he also told them, don't grow weary. So, what is given then to the one who overcomes or conquers? And what is the result? Jesus told Ephesus they would be given the right or the grant to eat from the tree of life in the paradise of God. Now let's look at some scripture that tells us about that place of paradise, going back to Genesis verses 22 through 24. Then the Lord said, behold, the man become like one of us, knowing good and evil, and now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. So here we see in the very beginning, when man disobeyed God and sinned and was put out of the garden, God had in the garden the tree of life. So eating of the tree of life is what gives eternal life. And so man was put away from the tree after sinning there in the Garden of Eden. Now let's look at Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 and 2, and verse 14 and 19, and see what is taking place in this last chapter of the book of Revelation. Then he showed me a river of water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So the tree of life will be in the New Jerusalem. And those that have the right to eat from it are the ones in the new city. Let me read Revelation 22, 14 and 19. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Verse 19. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of the prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city that are written in the book. So here we see the ones that have the right are the ones that are believers, they're true believers of God, and they will be able to have the life eternal by the tree of life that will be in the New Jerusalem at the end of the tribulation in all times. So this is what we see then as we look at Ephesus. Now let's go on and look at the next church and the letter that was written. That was Smyrna. And so Jesus wanted them to overcome and to conquer. And what was he talking about then? He told them to overcome tribulation and suffering to the point of death. And how were they going to overcome it? By not fearing their suffering and by being faithful unto death. So what then was given to the one that overcomes? What would be the result? And he told them, not hurt by the second death. So although those were suffering in Smyrna might die, they wouldn't be hurt by the second death. So let's look at some scriptures about the second death so that will help us as we go forward in our studies, because we're going to see the second death more in the scriptures. But let's look now at Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15. Then death and Hades was thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, it was thrown into the lake of fire. Now, that second death we see here in the scriptures is pertaining to the lake of fire. In other words, the place called hell. And everyone's name that is not written in the book of life will be thrown into that lake of fire. Now, those that have eternal life are not hurt by the second death. And these are the ones that are priests to God and Christ and reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, there's another promise for all believers, all overcomers and conquerors, and all who have faith. This is what he speaks of here. Now then, let's go on and look at the next church and see what they will need to overcome. And that third church was Pergamum. And how then are they going to overcome? And what are they going to conquer? They were a church that was infiltrated with false teaching, and they were influenced by the devil and immorality. There were many among that church of Pergamum. So how then would they be able to overcome this influence and this immorality? And Jesus said to hold fast to his teaching, to hold fast to his name, and don't deny his faith. So if they hold fast and don't deny, then what is the promise? And we see that he promised them hidden manna, and he promised them a white stone and a new name, and on it known by no one but the overcomer. First, let's look at the book of Exodus. Excuse me. This takes us back to the time that Moses led the people out of bondage from Egypt. And they complained because they didn't have food. And so God sent to them manna. So here he says the promise is that if they overcome, then he will give them hidden manna, okay? So let's read Exodus 16, 14 through 36. And when the layer of dew evaporated, behold, on the surface of the wilderness, there was a fine flake-like thing, fine as the frost on the ground. And when the sons of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat." And then in verse 31, here it says, "The house of Israel named it manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and its taste was like the flakes with honey." So this manna was from God only for his people, and no one knew really what it was. And then, as you look in the New Testament, you will see that John in chapter 6, verses 32, 35, I'm not going to read these. We don't have time to read all scriptures. But John said, or Jesus said, that he was the bread out of heaven, and those who eat him partake of the true bread of life and live forever. So this is another promise to all believers. Now, looking at that stone that he was given he said if they overcome, they would be given a white stone and a new name on it. So it's like an admission. In their time, back in the time of the Old Testament, the admission to get into certain places, they had to have a stone, a white stone, and their name written on it. So it was like an invitation. So that's what he said when he said that he would give them a white stone and a new name, and on it no one would know it but the overcomer. So you can look at 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5, and it gives an understanding that it is an admission, and that God himself and the Lamb, the King of Kings, is the one that gives the admission. And we know that we receive that by our faith and our belief in Christ Jesus. Now let's go on and look at Thyatira. How were they going to overcome, and what was it that they needed to overcome? That city needed to overcome the false prophetess that led many to immorality, and it used the false prophetess Jezebel as an example. There were those in the church that were false teachers, false prophets, and they were acting as Jezebel did in the Old Testament. So how were they going to overcome that? Jesus said, "Don't tolerate false teaching and immorality." and hold fast till Jesus comes. So they were told that to become conquerors, they were to keep Jesus' deeds or works until the end. And he said that he would give them each one according to his deeds. So what did he say then that would be given to the overcomers? He told them that he would give them authority to rule over the nations with a rod of iron, and he would give them the morning star. Now, most of the church of Thyatira tolerated the false prophets, and they knew the deep things of Satan, that it leads to the assumption that the church was ruled by the false, the majority of the church, and the rest that didn't hold to those teachings were burdened by those that ruled over the church. Now, Jesus quoted Psalms 2, and we want to read verses 6 through 9. And I'll read these quickly. But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, and you shall shatter them like earthenware." So it says that the nations and the peoples devise a vain thing. Their rulers were against the Lord and Jesus, his anointed one. But he said that he will put his king over them. His son will receive the nations as his inheritance. He will break them with a rod of iron. And then he gives authority to overcomers to rule over the nations. The Father gives authority to the Son, and the Son gives authority to the overcomers. Now then, let's look at the scripture we find in Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. I'll read this quickly. "And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the book and break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth.'" So what are these verses saying? The people that Jesus purchased for God with his blood from every tribe and tongue and nation are made a kingdom, priest to God, and will reign upon the earth. So that's what the promise made to this church. Here we see if they become overcomers and repent, Thyatira. Now let's look the next thing that he said to them. The citizens of the city represent the Jews of Jesus' day who didn't receive him as their king to rule over him. And his slaves represented those who believed in him. And when he returns, he will assess their ability to rule by what they did with what he left them. and some will rule over 10 cities and others over 5. And you see that in Luke 19, verses 11 through 19. This was the parable told by Jesus about the kingdom of heaven to those near Jerusalem. And so now let's look at the morning star. He said that he would give them the morning star. In Revelation 22:16, explains what the morning star is, and we'll study more about this later. Revelation 22:16, I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. So Jesus is saying that he is the bright morning star. In this church, he told them if they overcame, that they would receive the morning star, and that meant Jesus himself. If they believed and they repented, they would receive him. And then in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns, excuse me, and the morning star arises in your hearts. So this is saying to pay attention to the prophetic word until, excuse me, pay attention to the prophetic word until the morning star arises in your hearts. And this is referring to the second coming. Now then, let's go to the next church, Sardis. And in the church of Sardis, what was it that they needed to overcome? Jesus said they were dead, and they need to overcome being dead. And so how are they going to overcome it? Jesus said, wake up, remember what you've received and heard, and keep it and repent. So what then did he tell them if they did this, if they woke up, if they remembered what they had received and they repented? He said that I will clothe you in white garments. Your name will not be erased from the book of life. Confessed by Jesus, he said, I will confess you by my name, by Jesus, before the Father and the angels. So this is the promise made if they repented. So let's look at some different things. First of all, about the white garments. And we'll look at some scriptures about the garments. And then we'll look at the name and the confession before his Father. Looking at Revelation 13:8, here it talks about their name not being blotted out. First of all, let's go back to the white garments. And the white garments represented righteousness that we received from Jesus, and the righteous acts of the saints that is given by their faith. And then it said talking about the name, the church had a name that it was alive, but it was dead. And those who overcome will not have their name erased from the book of life, and Jesus will confess their name before the Father and the angels. So, looking first at Revelation 13, verse 8, and 17, verse 8. And Revelation 13 says, all who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of the life of the Lamb who has been slain. Now this is referring to all who dwell on the earth who worship him, and that would be the Antichrist. And these are the ones that's names have not been written. It says, has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. So here there is a book of life of the Lamb. There are several books, and we'll be studying about this, but this book is referred to as the Lamb's Book of Life, and it said that everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation in Jesus' Book of Life. And those who dwell on earth, unbelievers, never had their names written in this Lamb's Book of Life, this Lamb's Book of Jesus. Therefore, it must be different from the Book of Life from which their names are erased by Jesus. Let's look at Revelation 17:8. The beast that you saw was and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss and go to destruction. And those who dwell on the earth, whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of life of the world, will wonder when they see the beast that he was and is not and will come. So, if then, those who dwell, the unbelievers, never had their names written in this book. Therefore, the book, the Lamb's book, is different. So, if that's correct, then the Lamb's Book of Life, with names written before the foundation of the world, is the book of eternal life. And the book of life contains the names of those with physical life. So we'll discuss that as we get into these chapters. But let's go forward now and look at Revelation 20, verses 12 through 15. Because there are more than those books, the Book of Life and the Lamb's Book. Let's look at 20 of Revelation, verse 12. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. Now we will study that in detail, but here it's saying that John saw the great and the small standing before the throne of God. And in the books, that several books were opened, and then the book of life was opened, it says, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. So here we see at the great white throne judgment of the dead, this is unbelievers that will be judged by their deeds, works written in books, and anyone whose name is not in the book of life is thrown into the lake of fire. Those are the names erased by Jesus. So the book of life is the book where all names of creation are written, but if they do not become believers, then Jesus erases their names. And then whenever these unbelievers that have not believed stand before God, stand before the great white throne judgment, then their names won't be found in the book of life, because Jesus is the one that will erase it because they never believed. Now let's look at Revelation 20, verse 15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Now, let's look at some more verses here in verse 20, chapter 21, verse 27. And nothing unclean, and no one who practiced abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And like I said, when we get to these chapters 20 and 21, we will study in more detail about this. So we can combine these words here in 20 and 21, and we can go back and look at verses in chapter 3, and it seems that all people's names are at one time written in the book of life. That's what I mentioned. And then erased if they're not saved. And they remain dead because we receive life through salvation. And then at the end, the names in the book of life and Lamb's book of life will be the same. Now then, let's look at Exodus. There's something in Exodus that in the beginning we see that there was a book, because this is where God is talking, and he's talking to Moses in Exodus 32, verses 32 and 33. I'll read those verses, but now, if you will forgive their sin, Moses is asking God to forgive the people's sin, and if not, please blot me from your book which you have written. The Lord said to Moses then, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. So we see that God had his book in the beginning, and he is saying then that anyone that sins against him, their names would be blotted out of the book, his book. And then let's quickly look at Revelation 21:7. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. in verse 10 of chapter 21, and he carried me away, John, in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. In verse 22, I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. So this is still the vision given to John. And this is a little bit lengthy. This is, we want to go on to the next two churches, and we want to look at Philadelphia. And we see in Philadelphia, they had to overcome. And what was it they had to overcome? They had to overcome the lying and the testing. And how were they going to be able to do that? To keep his word, not to deny his name. Whose name? Whose word? Jesus' name and his word. And they were to keep the word of Jesus' perseverance. And they were to hold fast to what they have. So if they do this, what then did he say that he would give them? What was the promise? Revelation, the promise was to the overcomers that Jesus will make the overcomer a pillar in God's temple. And they would not go out of God's temple anymore. And Jesus would write on him the name of his God, the name of the city of his God, New Jerusalem, and his new name. Now, name is repeated in repetition. It's a person's identity. It's what he's known by. So let's look at some more scripture. I want us to look at Revelation. I'll find my place here and see what I've got. Okay. Okay, Revelation 21:7-22. Okay, and that's what I just read. This is to the church of Philadelphia. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. And then in verse 22, he said, I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. So, I think I got ahead of myself there. So, let's look at some more scriptures about these promises to Philadelphia. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul said, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? He's saying that as believers, you are the temple of God because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And then in 1 Corinthians 6:19, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? So the temple of God rest in each believer. So Jesus promised that the overcomer would be a pillar in the temple of God and not go out from it. So believers are the temple of God. And God himself and the Lamb are the temple in the New Jerusalem. Christians will have a permanent and an unshakable place in God's presence in the new Jerusalem. And Jesus is going to write on them God's name, his new name, and they will know the fullness of his character. So that pretty much covers the church at Philadelphia. So let's look at our last church, that is Laodicea. What was it that they needed to overcome? They needed to overcome being lukewarm. Jesus had said, you're neither hot nor cold. You're only lukewarm, and I'm just ready to spit you out of my mouth. So how were they going to conquer and overcome it? Jesus told them how: to buy from him gold, to be zealous, to repent, and to open the door to him. And if they would do this, what was it he promised? He said that he will sit down if you repent. You will sit down with Jesus on his throne. So the compromise then was to sit down with the Father on his throne. Let's look at Matthew 19 and 28. And I'll read this quickly. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration with the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne. You also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And we'll study more about this when we get into further chapters in the book of Revelation. But this is a promise if they are overcomers, if they repent. And then in Matthew 25, 31, there will be a judgment. And this is the judgment. But when the Son of Man comes in his glories and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. That's the time of judgment. It's after his second coming, so that he will sit on his throne. And then let me go one more time to Revelation 5:10. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Here we see that this is the time of reign, and it's on the earth for 1,000 years. This we'll study more in our study about the 1,000 years. And then in Revelation 26, he says, blessed and holy is the one who has part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. And then a Revelation 2 that we have studied, he tells us in verses 26 and 27, he who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father. So overcomers, all true Christians, will rule over the nations with a rod of iron. So then, how do we know that we are overcomers? We know that by the deeds, if we keep the deeds. In the first part of that, in verse 26, this is the overcomer. He who overcomes and keeps my deeds unto the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. So how we know then is by keeping the deeds that he writes down to us and following him and repenting of our sins. Jesus has already overcome all of our sins, and if we keep his deeds, we too will be overcomers. Now, this has been a very lengthy lesson today, but I think it's good that we go back and review and see, because this is talking to all the churches today. When it's the seven that's complete, that means all the churches. It's speaking to us, and we need to examine ourselves and be sure that we are truly overcomers and that we need to repent if we are not following his deeds. So we will continue our study in part two, and that will take place in a couple of weeks. We'll skip a couple of weeks, and then we'll start back and we'll be studying in Revelation part two. So I pray that everyone will pray for you and for each other and for me as we continue our study. And I'll close now in prayer. Father, I do pray that in this study, Father, that we all have come to realize that there are many deeds and things that we are failing to do for you. And Father, we want to be sure of our salvation, to be sure that we are overcomers. And if we do truly believe in the name of Jesus, and we have repented of our sins, then we know that we are overcomers. And I pray, Father, if there's many or any that have studied in these first chapters, Father, that if they have never truly believed, if they have studied and God has touched their heart through the Holy Spirit, I pray that they will repent and accept Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And thank you for your forgiving of our sins through Jesus' blood. And I ask it now in the name of Jesus. Amen.